produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
You are now tuned into the CEO Mindset with your amazing host, Nicole Gates, with trending topics to empower, encourage, and equip the female business leader.
She's a diamond diva on the rise, taking the world by storm. This is the CEO Mindset, and I am joined today by the Diamond Diva herself, Miss Daphne Swift. Hey, Daphne.
Hello, Nicole. How are you?
I am well, and I'm so excited to have you as a part of the show. I know you know from last time. After you appeared on my show, I got so many people like, bring her back, bring her back. And so you are back, different show, but you are back nonetheless, and I hope some of our CEOs are tuned in today and can learn a little bit from you, because you are, my dear, a wealth of knowledge.
Well, thank you so much. It's definitely an honor and a privilege to be asked to be back on the show. I had a fabulous time last time, and I am definitely looking forward to it today. So I appreciate those requests, and I'm here and ready.
Awesome. So, Daphne, why don't we start with this? Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you and about your company, A Cut Above, and how you became a CEO?
Okay. All right. Well, I am the founder and president of A Cut Above Lawn Service Corporation. We've been in business for 6 years now. We currently have contracts with the City of Memphis, Shelby County governments. We do extra space storages, and we have a few commercial clients that we also service out in the Arlington area, H. Saga, Port Alliance, and Maine Paper and Food Services. So the business was started because I wanted to do something, give back to the community, and actually be involved in the community, as I'm very big on community service. I'm an Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated woman, and our motto is service to all mankind. So I definitely want to live up to that motto. I did investigations for the state of Tennessee for about 8 years, and that was also one of the motivating factors for me to start the business, because while doing investigations, I had the opportunity to encounter a lot of difficult situations, and I saw a lot of things that were unpleasing and unsettling to the mind as well as the eyes. The areas that we typically service with the government contracts are low-income, high-crime areas, and the areas are blighted. So therefore, a lot of times, citizens can't see what's going on in their neighborhoods to report what's going on, because the grass is very tall, it's out of control, there are vacant houses and buildings. So I wanted to really get involved and try to see what the city and the county was doing with these properties, and I found out that they did indeed have a blight program. I went through the process to become an approved vendor with both the city and the county government, and I started from there. I started out initially with one crew. I then expanded and kept expanding and kept growing and growing. And now I currently have 7 crews. So we have grown pretty much at a steady pace, and we're always looking for other opportunities to grow. We actively recruit employees from those communities that we service, if possible, because for me, it has been a success to have people from their communities work within their communities, and it gives them a sense of gratification to clean up the communities that they live in, to try to make them safer for their families and the children going to school in those high crime areas. With the grass being tall and houses and buildings being open, it's an easier access for a criminal to commit crimes in open, abandoned houses and buildings. And if people can't see, they can't report. So what we do, we come in, bring these properties into compliance by cutting them down. The city and county code ordinance for being out of compliance is that the grass has to be at least 12 inches tall, which most of these properties are as tall as I am, and I'm 5'5". So we encounter properties with 6 foot, 8 foot tall grass. So we come in, we cut those down, clean them up, vacant houses, vacant buildings, we board those up and secure them. So it tries to deter criminals from committing crimes in those areas.
I love it. And I like what you said. So you're actually hiring people from their community to work in their community. So not only are they getting a little bit of pride in servicing the community in which they live, but they're making a little bit of money while doing it. That's awesome. So Daphne, tell us about when you started the business, what challenges did you face?
In starting the business, some of the challenges I faced, of course, was being a woman in a man's world, so to speak, because when you hear lawn service, landscaping, construction, people automatically think of men. And so me being new, being a woman, and being a minority woman, I had a double minority status. So I was an African American and I was a woman. And the third challenge is I was young. So coming in, of course, people that have been, you know, in the business for years was looking at me like, oh, she's a baby. She doesn't know what she's doing. What is she doing here? But when I came in, I was determined to make my presence known and to be a force to be reckoned with. So I came in with a strategic plan, a strategic strategy, and I rose quickly because I invested right back into the company, continued to grow, and now I am one of the largest vendors that both the city and county has as far as crews and equipment, being able to service properties quickly, having the heavy-duty equipment to meet all of the demands. So I came in as Superwoman, and I was determined to soar and not fail because everyone was assuming, oh, she doesn't know what she's doing. She's a diva. She's a prima donna. She comes in heels and stilettos, so she doesn't know anything about grass. So, you know, that was actually motivation for me to overcome those challenges.
I love that. So you came in, and I love how you changed the game. You know, you made sure that you were equipped. I like the fact that you came in with a strategic plan, so you didn't come in blindsided. You came in with a plan, and I think that's something our CEOs need to be aware of, that no matter what you're doing, you need to have a plan in doing so to be successful. That's really important. So I like that. I love that. You're listening, have a plan or plan to fail. The choice is yours.
Right.
So, Daphne, talk about some of your biggest accomplishments. I know you have the contract with the city. You have the one with the county. What other things are happening with your company that you consider really large successes?
We had the opportunity to clean up a very large illegal dumping site. This site had been used for many years from the information that I was provided, and it was about 6 acres. It was everything that you can name, including kitchen sinks and vehicles and furniture. Everything that you can possibly think of was on this site where people had just used it as a dumping ground for years. We were able to come in with a strategic plan. Again, I like to work smart, not hard. So I went out, assessed the property with my crew members. We developed a strategy as to how we was going to get it done, what it was going to take to get it done, and the time frame in which we would have it completed. And we exceeded all of those goals, time frame, getting it completed, the efficiency, and it looked like a completely different site. We were able to clean it up, mow it, grade it, level it out, and it looked so wonderful. We were then asked if we could put up a fence with a lock and gate on it so that people couldn't get back in to dump on the site again. So after we cleaned it, and then we were contracted in again to build a fence around it, we did that, locked it, and put up no trespassing signs. So we were really proud. That's one of the larger accomplishments. We actually recovered about 750 tires that had to be removed from that one site. And that was just tires alone. That didn't include furniture, couches. We actually had the front end of an 18-wheeler truck. So like I said, anything that you can imagine was on this site, and we had before and after pictures, and it just looked like a completely different property. So we are very proud of that accomplishment. That's one of the largest ones that we were really excited about.
That's really good. So Daphne, I know you have hosted a couple of workshops trying to teach other people how to get into the business of working with government, so on and so forth, how to get certified. What advice would you give to a fellow CEO?
I would definitely say that being a certified business gives you so many more opportunities. We are currently certified as a LOSB, which is a locally owned small business, MBE, Minority Business Enterprise, WMBE, which is Women Minority Business Enterprise, and SBE, Small Business Enterprise. And we're currently going through the process, completing the process to be a DBE, which is a Disadvantaged Business Enterprise. So we hold all of those certifications. And with your business being certified, it also opens up the door for so many more opportunities for you to bid on other contracts, larger contracts, because now they are now adding the requirement for larger companies to partner with smaller companies just to have the smaller companies to be able to be more competitive and obtain additional business. So with that being said, we're able to be more competitive, make more money, and partner with other companies to increase your sales and your revenue. So I would definitely advise all business owners, especially women business owners, to get your business certified. There's different channels that you can go through, different agencies to get your business certified. And these are also nationally accredited certifications as well. So not only am I able to bid locally in Shelby County, but I can bid nationwide, and I do get a lot of bid proposals to bid on stuff nationwide. I've been getting a lot of bid requests from Texas, so I am actually thinking and considering testing the waters in Texas. they have a lot of opportunities for minority-owned businesses and especially women in the Dallas and Houston area. So, again, it's just the opportunities that it opens up for you to be certified. They're supposed to have a federal mandate as well on the payment conditions that you're supposed to be able to obtain your money quicker by being a certified business so that you don't have to wait, because they know that being a small business owner, you may not have the funds that, you know, a huge corporation may have. So you need to get your money as quickly as possible to continue growing and pay your workers and all of your expenses. So with that certification, instead of waiting the traditional 30, 45, 60 days, federal mandate, it's supposed to allow for minority business enterprises that are certified to receive payment quicker within 15 to 20 days, just depending on the governments and their operating systems internally.
Well, you brought up a good point, because I know a lot of people probably are listening and thinking, you know, hey, I'm a small business. I don't have cash flow. I don't know where my money is coming from. A lot of the CEOs that I've interviewed in the past, and I talk about, we always talk about those challenges, the things that were difficult for them when they first started their business. The number one challenge has been money. A lot of people start, they might be bootstrapping to kind of get their business going, borrowing money from family and friends, whatever they're doing, kind of to get things up and running. So do you have any advice for someone that may be listening and maybe thinking, man, I don't have any cash flow. I don't know where my money is coming from. I know I have this great idea, but I don't know how to get jump started if I need all of this stuff.
Okay. Well, with that, there are a few companies that help with cash flow. Now, one particular company that I know of for sure personally is Asaga Port Alliance. They have helped a lot of minority businesses and small business owners to grow their business. One of my king principles for success and factor in being able to obtain so many additional contracts has been because of the relationship that I have developed with Asaga Port Alliance in Arlington, Tennessee, because what I do with them, I was able to do what they call invoice factoring. So I could actually send my invoice, and they purchase the invoice from me for a small fee and process the invoice. And most of the times, there's never been a time that I can remember that I didn't have my money in my account, if not the same day, definitely within 24 hours. So that gave me the opportunity to expand, to grow the business, obtain additional contracts, be able to really increase my overall bottom line and just grow astronomical with that being in place. In addition to, of course, you know, I saved and I invested and put back into the business. But there are companies that provide startup funds. There are programs that provide small businesses with startup funds to start the business. So there's a lot of information out there. People just have to be very, you know, diligent in researching and finding those resources. Also, with Asaga, they do offer invoice factoring, PO financing, whereas if you're a company and you need inventory and you say, hey, I need, you know, 90 days worth of inventory, but I don't have money to buy all of that inventory, you can in turn work with them, do PO financing. They'll purchase all of that inventory that you need, and then you set up your payment terms. If you say, I can sell all this inventory, have you paid back in 90 days, 120, or whatever, you know, terms and conditions that you work out, They also do that as well to help small businesses grow. And, of course, you and I both being business owners, you know that could help a great deal, especially if you're in a business where you have sales and inventory, where you're pushing products. You need that product in order to grow your business. So just having resources, attending networking functions, and I attend strategic networking functions that I feel like are going to be beneficial for me and the growth of my business. It's always, you know, enjoyable to go and socialize, but when I'm networking, like, I am there zoned in with a purpose. I always have a purpose to connect with like minds and people that I can service and they can service me in return, and we can in turn work together and exchange relationships.
That's great. And I know somebody that's listening is probably wondering, because I was thinking the same thing as I was taking a few notes from what you were saying with the PO financing and stuff like that. How much of that is based on their credit or their business credit?
I'm not going to say that it's not based on your personal credit and your business credit, but this particular company, I know they have a great reputation, and if they can work with you, they will. They will definitely try to. They are all about trying to help small businesses grow and build the minority communities up to help them get business. So some of it is based on, you know, your credit score and things of that nature. But, you know, each case is different as well. You know, you may have gotten in a situation and you may be, you know, that may have happened 5 or 6 years ago, and now, you know, you're a different person than you were 5 or 6 years ago. So I don't think that's the sole factor that they go based on. Like I said, they have a strong history in the community. The founder and owner, he is very adamant about wanting to see others succeed, be successful, and give back to the community. So I think if anyone needed that service, they would definitely, you know, try at all possible to try to work with them if they possibly could. And, you know, of course, you'll have sometimes those clients that you just can't work with, you know, because of whatever reason with business. But if possible, you know, there are resources. Be willing to exhaust all resources. You know, you may get tired sometimes. You may get frustrated. But the thing is to never give up. If you are passionate about it, you go for it, and you make it happen.
All right. So, Daphne, tell us, who is your success circle? Who are the people that help you in business to help make sure and ensure that your business is doing well?
I would definitely say I have great staff. The guys that I work with are phenomenal. They ensure the equipment is working. I also have a lot of certified workers, which gives me the advantage as well over some other companies. I have guys that have CDL license, forklift certifications. I have people that were ex-military in the Army, the Marines, certified welders. So they bring a plethora of experience to the company. And not only the experience, but they also bring good moral character, which is very great to have because, you know, they are accountable for what they're doing. I can't be at every job site every minute of the day. So they have to be willing to hold themselves accountable because they know that I'm going to hold them accountable as well. So these guys, I let them know what to do, let the supervisors know what is expected, and they ensure that the team performs to the best of their ability. So I have to contribute the success to the workers, because I work hard behind the scenes and make sure I get the contracts, make sure the payments are rolling in, all the paperwork, all the legal stuff. I ensure that's being completed, but I have to give props to those workers for getting out there in the elements, you know, the heat, the high crime areas, you know, safety concerns, running into, you know, huge snake beds and beehives, sure, and all of those elements that
right,
they experience in the outdoors, they're out there in it.
She'll
so
make it
I
happen.
Try to go over
yeah,
and beyond to make sure that they have what they need and that they feel appreciated, most of all, for them to know I appreciate what they do to ensure the work gets done and gets done in a timely manner and that it gets done in good quality.
Awesome. Well, Daphne, for our listeners. Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say, and furthermore, God is number one for me. I could not do anything without God. That is my foundation for everything. And my success, everything that comes with it, I get my strength from God.
Love it. I love it. Got to acknowledge him for sure because he makes it happen for all of us. So, Daphne, I wanted to say if there were some CEOs that may be listening, because you did talk about getting certified, they may have further questions. I know you are the expert in that now, that you've done all of that process. If they wanted to reach out to you and just maybe ask questions or, you know, seek counsel from you as a CEO, how could they reach out to you? Is there some social media handles that you can share with our listeners today, email or whatever you want to give to our listeners that may be listening?
Yes, they could reach me at 901-237-7579. That's our business phone number. I am also on Facebook, Daphne Swift. We also have a page, A Cut Above Lawn Service, on Facebook and Instagram. So all of those contacts, they can reach out to me. I'll respond. My email address is DaphneSwift@gmail.com. So any of those methods, they can reach out to me, get in contact with us, and I would love to help someone else be successful, obtain contracts, and grow their business. So I'm always willing to help others, give back, show others what has worked for me and what hasn't worked for me. So feel free to contact me again, 901-237-7579.
Thank you, Daphne, and I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you are on the go as we speak, and I appreciate all that you bring to the table. I know you are a wealth of knowledge, and you have served this community well and will continue to serve this community well. We appreciate you. We wish you the best of luck in growing the business. I know good things are coming around the corner for you. And for our CEOs that are listening, I want to continue to remind you to remember where you started, celebrate where you are, and gear up for where you might be going. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Right there. Come on. Yeah. Let's go. Hello, how there, everyone. My name is Sturman Tush, and I'm glad to be back with you on another episode of your show, Musicians War Room. Wow, I know it's been a while, and I'm sorry that I've not been able to speak with you for a while, but I'm back right now, back fully, back with grace, back with power. Thank you, Finding My Way Radio Network, for holding this down for me for a while that I've not been on the show. And I want to appreciate the producer, Kayla Paget, and every other person working right there. Thank you so much. I love you all. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah, so it's been a while that we've been talking about so many things that concerns music, music industry, the church, and all of that. And I know you've been learning a lot of things. And I'm here today to take it a little bit deeper. And I'm going to step it down today. Today, I'm going to talk about something that is critical, something that people talk about, and something that people always want to shy away from, because it's a very sensitive topic. Very sensitive. And what is that? Talking about the relationship between the music industry or the artist and the church, the relationship between the choir and the pastors, the relationship between the church, the clergy, and the Christian artist. Now, this has been a hot topic for a while right now. People have had so many things to say about it. When you talk to musicians and artists, you find them telling you that, oh, you know what, the church doesn't appreciate music ministry, the pastors don't appreciate us, we don't have platforms, the money and the rewards are not there. When you talk to the church and the leaders and the church, you hear them say stuff like, oh, you know what, Christian artists are not serious, choir members are not serious, and so many things, accusations flying back and forth. But I'm not here today to treat these accusations. I'm here to go back to the basics. What exactly is the relevance of the church to the Christian artist? What is the reciprocate gesture that the church, the artist should have? What is the posture that the artist is meant to have towards the church, towards the pastors, towards the church leadership? What exactly, how are things meant to be? Originally, we're going to go back to that basics. I'm going to share these things with you. We're going to have this conversation together, and I'm going to expect your questions. I'm going to wait to hear you ask me questions, and you can always send me your mail on hemedymusic@gmail.com, hemedymusic@gmail.com, and I'm going to answer those questions right on the show. All right, so we're going to look at these things on this show today. I'm going to start this with a piece of music. Let's get into some worship, and this is Nobody Like You by Afe Nathan. Enjoy this one.
I will lift up my hands to you. I will lift up my voice to you and sing a victory song to you, great and mighty. Is who you are. Nobody like you. Nobody like you. Alpha. Nobody like you. Omega. Nobody like you. I will lift up my hands to you, Lord. I will lift up my voice to you and sing a victory, oh Lord, song to you, great and mighty. Nobody like you. Nobody like you. Alpha. Nobody like. Nobody like you, Lord. Omega. Nobody like you. Nobody like you. Nobody nobody like you. Omega, nobody like you. Cause anybody, cause cause any oh, Lua, cause any nobody like you, Alpha, nobody like, nobody like. El Shaddai, Elohim, Elion, nobody like you, nobody like you, nobody, 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 nobody. God, I worship you. God, I bless your name. You are God all by yourself. I bless you, I bless you, I bless you. I said, sure, I don't. Nobody like you. I've just come to encourage someone out there today. And I say to you that whatever situation you find yourself, I need you to see God in that situation. No matter how low, I need you to see God in it. No matter how bad, no matter how terrible, I need you to see God in that situation. If only you can see God. If only you can find God. I need you to be focused. I need you to get your praise on. I need you to get your worship on. And let it flow from the inside of you to the audience of one, to the King of Glory.
Yes, yes, let your worship flow. Let your praise rise to the audience of one. No matter what you're going through, no matter what circumstances are facing you right now, just know that God is right there. It's just a call away. Glory to Jesus. Yes, yeah, so we're talking about the church and the artists. Now, let me debunk a particular mindset or frame of thought that people have been sharing over the years. People say that, you know what, if the church doesn't give you a platform as an artist, you know, you can just give yourself your own platform. You don't really need a church. No, that is wrong. That is wrong. People who say certain things, you know, they talk out of heart. And I understand. I understand that you've been hurt by people. I understand that probably some leaders in the church as they've hurt you in times past. Now, I'm not going to go into whether you were was legit or not, but I really understand how you feel. But never let your emotions cloud your judgment. I understand that you've been hurt, but you see, it is wrong to say that the artist or the singers or the choir or, you know, Christian music industry doesn't need the church or doesn't need the pastors. I remember in the Bible, you know, when Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, building the temple, one of the things that was striking in that story is that as the guys were building, the prophets were with them. The Bible says that the prophets were beside them. Now, the prophets were not there holding the brick and all of, the bricks and all of that. The prophets were there strengthening them by speaking words. By speaking words. So I'm going to say that, first of all, like I said, you know, in quite some episodes back, you are first of all a Christian before being an artist, for being a musician. So what that means essentially is that you are subject to the ministry of the pastors, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, okay? The fivefold ministry. It is important. The apostles, it is important. You have them. They are meant to feed you. They are meant to empower you. They are meant to energize you. They can give you platforms, but that is not the primary role of the church. And I need us to get that straight. Now, many of us, we expect too much. In fact, we expect things that we, you know, you find out that an artist will release a song and then the artist will just sit down and fold his or arms and expect that, well, you know what, my church should help me promote my song. Now, I know that's far, but I've met artists like that who do nothing. They don't brand themselves well. They don't go on social media. They don't talk to music PR folks. They don't do anything to promote their music. They just go to the studio, release a song. Even the money that they used to go to the studio, they had to beg around for it. Now they got the money, get to the studio, release the song, and it just feel that, well, because I'm anointed, the song will fly, or because my church is great and they're going to help me promote my song. Now that is an extreme. That is totally wrong. That is wrong. That is not the job of the church. You are the artist. You are the one who has been called into music ministry. And like Paul said to Timothy, I'm going to say to you, take heed, give attention to the ministry that you have been given. Now, Paul was telling Timothy to tell a man, okay, called Archippus, that he should give heed and give attention to the ministry he has been given. So it is your ministry, it is your assignment. What impute, what are you putting into it? You're not putting anything into it. So that is not the job of the church. But the job of the church and the pastors and the leaders, they are meant to, is to empower you, is to feed you, is to pray for you, is to be a prophetic voice over your life, over your ministry. So once that is settled, then you are in good shape. You are in good stand. And I want to encourage and I want to also counsel our church leaders that, you see, for us to move forward in the music industry, we need to take this mindset away that, oh, artists are not serious. They don't want to really go deep. I understand that there are a few bad eggs everywhere. But you see, you have to understand that there are some people who are passionate about music ministry and they really want to do well at it. So the job of our church and our leaders is to help the artist to grow. That is on the spiritual side. Now, there's also something else on the technical side. One of the things that pastors should understand is that music is global. Music is expanding every day. And so the church choir is essentially the kitchen or the manufacturing spot where artists are created. So if a singer comes from your church and goes out to release songs and becomes a recording artist, the quality of that artist in terms of the conviction, the message, the songs, the musicality, everything there reflects your investment in the church. So if a singer comes out of your church that and starts doing anyhow and releases wishy-washy songs, it shows that you had wishy-washy investment. It shows that your investment in that artist wasn't sound. So the church, you need to understand that you have a direct personal take over every artist. Don't just say that, well, the artist just did what he or she wants to do because he's not serious. No. God is gonna ask you, because God entrusted you with that singer. God entrusted you with that instrumentalist, and see how he or she has turned out. So we need to ensure that our building of our singers and our choir is well-rounded. As much as you are praying for them and encouraging them and you're building them up and speaking words over them, you also need to make investments into them technically, musically. There are many churches today that they have not invested anything in their music team, no equipment to work with, no training. I mean, you have a choir and they have not gone for any formal training in the past 2 years. You just keep on telling them, work, watch videos, listen to music. Yes, but many of them did not go to music school. They just love God and they have a natural voice to sing and they have a passion to serve. So you need to supply that extra knowledge, extra motivation for them to learn. So many of us in the church, many pastors are not even doing enough to be able to build these people. Many of us, many pastors say, you know what, I can't rent, I can't pay instrumentalists, I can't pay anybody to come and do anything in my church for music. I believe that is not right. Because there are times where you will need to seek professional advice and you will have to pay for it. There are times you will need to seek professional church on your music and you will need to pay for it. So if there's a music director or there's a singer out there who you know that is good and has what your choir needs to be supplied to it, you should be able to pay for it. Don't see that you are paying them for what they are doing. See it as your financial investment. See it like you are sending your choir members to school and what you are paying is the tuition fee. It's that simple. You see, if we don't make this investment, you find out that you release singers and instrumentalists in your church that know nothing about music, And that is really affecting us. Let me tell you something. When you see what is happening in the Christian music industry, it's a reflection of what is happening in our churches. And so it's like the adults saying that, well, the children of nowadays, the millennials, have turned out the way they want to turn out because they just have a mind of their own. I beg to disagree, because the adults raised these millennials. So whatever the millennials have become is a direct representation of the investment of the older generation in them. So I want to encourage pastors. This is a time to take your church music serious. Get them gadgets. Get them the right equipment. Provide the atmosphere for them to learn. Bring people to train them. Employ reliable hands. This is one of the things that is expected of you to do. Now, I'm talking about what are the expectations? What do we expect the church to do for artists? What does the artist want and need? And then on a part of the singers, what is your role and your responsibility to the church? Now, before I go for my next break, let me share it with you. I believe that it's important that every Christian artist finds a church, all right? Find a church that you can serve. So the problem many times is that some pastors have been ought as well. And I'm going to say this. They've poured a lot and invested so much in some people. And after a while, they go to the biggest dealer. They go to the person who is paying the biggest. And that is wrong. You need to be loyal. Like I said, you're not in your church. You're not in your church because you are trying to look for platforms. Yes, they can give you platform. But essentially, as a Christian, you need a church. So if you're not a musician, won't you have a church? Be committed somewhere. So if you want someone to invest in you, then you have to be loyal to them. If I'm a pastor and I feel that, oh, if I pour so much in you and you become good, the moment someone else sees something good in you and is offering you something bigger, you're going to go. And naturally, I'm going to feel like, oh, that would make me feel hurt. Now, I understand that you don't reap where you sow, but you reap what you sow. But you also have to understand that pastors are human beings. Yes, there are times where you invest in someone and that person is meant to actually be a benefit to someone else and you have to just let them go. I understand that. I understand that it's not everywhere you invest in or everyone you invest in that will end up returning back to you or staying around you for a while. I understand that. But you see, as artists, we need to be loyal to our leaders and loyal to our church, loyal to our pastors. Give your all. Stay in a place. I know many music directors and many artists who don't have a church. You can't place them somewhere. They're always moving around from one place to another. I don't think that is right. You should be in a place. You should be planted. You should be planted. Be loyal. Be loyal to a place. All right? So that is your responsibility as a Christian artist, that you are submitting to a leadership. You're submitting to a pastor. You're submitting to a church. And you are adding value to that space, to that choir. Let people around you feel your impact. Let them feel your knowledge. All right? So as the church is investing in you, you are putting back as well. All right? Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up after this music break, and we're going to, you know, continue further episode. So this is Sinach. You know her. Waymaker, Sinach, great worship leader, singing this one, "Great Are You, Lord." Enjoy this worship piece.
God is great and greatly to be praised. So every morning when I wake up, I always remind myself that God is bigger than any situation. God is bigger than any economy. God is bigger than any currency. And that God is bigger than my dreams. And that before you ever dream that, He knows. And He cares so much. And if you're feeling that nobody cares for you right now, God is bigger. And He says, "I am the great one." You just see how big that I am in your life. And I'll do the rest. Just lift up your hands and just worship Him and tell Him how great He is. Greatly to be praised.
Holy, holy, God. an almighty chief. It's a privilege to worship you, maker of all universe. It's an honor just to stand.
Lift up your hands and holy, holy,
holy, holy God Almighty. It's a privilege to worship. Maker of the whole universe, it is an honor,
it's an honor just
to stand before you. Ha.
With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you, proclaim the Lord you led.
With a grateful heart.
Proclaim and Lord, you reign.
Lord, you reign.
Great are you, Lord.
Ready to be praised. Ready to be praised. Father, you reign.
Great are you, Lord.
Ready to be praised. To be praised, Father, we lift up our hands, you reign. We worship you, you reign.
Holy, holy, come on.
Holy, holy, God Almighty.
It's a privilege.
It's a privilege to worship.
Maker of all,
maker of all universe, it is an honor,
it's an honor just to stand.
Lift up your hands, say holy, holy,
holy, holy God Almighty.
Oh Lord,
it's a privilege to worship.
You're the maker.
The universe, it is an honor.
It's an honor just to stand before.
Hey, come on.
With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Proclaim the Lord, you. Proclaim the Lord, you reign. Lord, you reign.
Reign
are you,
Lord. Reign are you, Lord. Reign to be reign. Reign to be reign. Father, you reign. Reign are you, Lord. Reign to be.
Great are you, Lord. I just couldn't stop that. That was a powerful song. Great are you, Lord. I'm sure you were lost in worship right there. All right, so I'm about to wrap up the show for the day. We're going to continue this conversation, you know, subsequently. So like I said, the church has its roles. The artist, you have your role. And this is what I'm going to end with. This is going to be my ending thought to us today on this episode. You see, we need to get to a point where we realize that we need one another. We need one another. I sincerely believe that the Christian music industry, and essentially gospel music, needs to take over. Because we have the message, we have the power, we have the grace, we have what it takes to turn our world around. The world out there, what you find people doing is they're singing all sorts of songs, and you find our young people turning into so many things, and they are being negatively influenced by the music, and we have what it takes. But you see, we cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot do this on our own. We need that prophetic backing. We need that synergy. We're never meant to do this by ourselves. Taking over is not a single man's job. I want you to understand that. It's not something that I'm going to do. You know, when you find new artists come out and say, you know what, I'm coming out with my first single, it's going to be the banger, I'm taking over the music industry, I'm going to turn this around. It's all a lie. Only you alone can do it. We need one another. And I want you to just take this mindset with you and just know that, you know what, I need my brother, I need my fellow artists. Thank God for my number one hit single nationwide, but I cannot do it by myself. If I'm the only one having hit singles, then nothing's going to happen. I need other people to rise up. And as artists, we also need the church. Let us go into the weekend, into our week, into our month, into the rest of the days of the year with that mindset that we need one another. I need you, you need me. Thank you so much. I'm going to continue on the next episode talking about the relationship between the church and the artists, between the singers, between the ministry, the music ministry, and the church leadership. Thank you so much for listening to me today. I'm Tommy Tish, and I'm signing out today. Thank you, everyone. God bless you.
Right there. Come on. Let's go! Yes, sir! When this world outside, high of peace inside, favor covers me. When it's casting down, I keep rising higher. Favor covers me.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, children around the world. It's story time with Princess Leah. And I foresee you. Oh, it's happy. Never mind. So today, I want to tell you all that I'm so glad that you thought about me on my birthday. Thank you, all of you that, you know, thought about me. And I want to say hello, Kayla Padgett, CEO, founder of Finding My Way Network. You are my twin forever. Big smile. And hello, parents out there who have let their children listen to me, Princess Leah Camille, who is awesome. So today, I'm going to be talking about how to feed thousands of people. This is about how Yeshua led the people into the wilderness. It's a familiar story. We all know it probably as how the little boy gave his lunch, you know, that one. So I'm going to tell you that story. So Yeshua led the people into the wilderness, teaching them the scriptures, and they had probably been walking for hours. You know, those long car trips where you don't want to sit in there. The only way for you to stay in there is to either have your video game or to listen to YouTube music. Ugh, I've been there. So that's probably what this felt like. Mom, are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet? You know what I'm talking about. So they had been walking for hours and hours and hours. And so they had wanted food service, while listening to Yeshua, but there weren't any random gas station stores in the middle of nowhere like today. So, dude, are we going to starve or what? Yeshua, we need food. We've been sitting here for hours, and now we're really hungry. Can we, like, go to the gas station or something? There were no gas stations. So they had to figure out another way to get food because they had been sitting there from morning until evening, usually like our churches today. So after hearing the complaints of the people for quite a long time, the disciples found a little boy who was willing to give us his lunch. Now, how many of you guys at school share or trade your lunches? Raise your hand. Oh, wait, I can't hear you or see you, so just forget it. So I know most of you probably do that. I have done that a few times, giving my lunches to people because they had no food. And I'm not doing that again because I don't want to. But you guys have known what it's like to give and trade food and stuff. So this little boy was kind of like that. So he had the loaves and the fishes. He's like, I have some food. I can share with all these people. Now, you have to think. There were a ton of people here, like a lot more than church. Well, maybe, probably. So there were lots of people here, and there were only a few loaves and fishes, so the math doesn't really add up. So he's just willing to give away his food. So Yeshua took the 7 loaves, and he broke them and the fishes, and they did set them before the people. You can find this in Mark 8. I'm on 7, verse 7. That's verse 7. So, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed them and commanded them to be set before the people. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. So, yeah, you know how you have leftovers and mom makes you eat all the leftovers the night after you eat. And you're just like, why, mom, we had this yesterday. So they had 7 baskets. If you took 7 baskets home of leftovers, I'm pretty sure you'd get really tired of eating that food. But you've got to eat it. So they had 7 baskets left over. And it's a miracle. I mean, like, he blessed the food. Now, when he says bless the food, that's kind of like when we say our grace. It's important to say our grace. So we say that all harm and impurities and diseases, all that stuff, so we won't get sick. It's important to pray before we eat. And even we sometimes might forget to pray. My mom might have to remind me sometimes. Even personally, it doesn't pray, say her grace all the time, but it's important to do that. Yeshua is being a good example of what we should do before we eat meals. And it was just a good, great miracle, another one of those miracles Yeshua performed, because these were the people. I mean, if we said grace, maybe, of course, Yeshua could use us to do that, to give all this bread and stuff. We could do that with Yeshua's help. We can break bread and give it to thousands of people. But I'm pretty sure if you just say grace and right now, I don't think you would give people all that bread just by saying grace. Yeshua did that miracle, though. So for the people who came in late today, Yeshua led the people in the wilderness, teaching them the scriptures, and they had been walking for hours. Yes, car trip. Just in there, bored. Don't know what to do. You're just in there asking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Your mom makes you sing that same song over and over again until you finally get to your destination. People had been walking. He was probably talking to them as they were walking, saying stuff about the scriptures and teaching them. So even when they were walking, they weren't sitting. He still was teaching them. His disciples were helping, even though they were just like, they keep complaining. What do we do? There's no food out here. And we can't just send them back. It's a long way from here. And then today, we have gas stations, all these other places, and food, and how we have this food, and we go to gas stations to get it. They didn't have that back then. So then they had to go and sit, and they've just been out there all day in that sun, from morning until the afternoon. They were just sitting. They didn't have any food. And then the boy, this shows us how we can be. When other people are in need, we need to be able to give what we have. Like, let's just say you go to this place. You know how your mom takes you to these places and you have shoes that you don't wear anymore, shirts, toys that you don't play with. Yeah, me, toys that I don't play with. And you just keep it in your room. It's just cluttering up your room even more. So why would you keep all that stuff in your room? You need to give it away. Give it to people who are in need. That's a good example of how we should be. Even us as kids, it's not just grown-ups who give to the poor and needy. And we should be able to give to other people that need items just as we do. And we need to stop complaining about food. Stop being so picky. I know Princess Leah is sometimes picky too, so I get that. I may not want to eat certain food. I'm like, Mom, what is this? But we need to eat what we have before, because they work all the time for us. They do all these things for us, and we complain and complain and complain. Mom, I want this video game. I don't like this food. And is this the food that Yahuwah gave you? You need to eat it.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I don't like spinach. Ew. I don't like tofu.
But if that's what you have to eat, then eat it. I mean, now, if you're like these other kids out there who don't have any food and they have to drink dirty water, then all they have to eat are beans. Would you? You wouldn't complain about if you ate that if you didn't have any other choice. You'd eat it if you were starving. So there's no difference in what we should be doing now. We should be grateful for what we have, not complaining about, like, I don't want this. Ew, what is that? I don't like broccoli. Ew, salads are gross. It's healthy anyway. Eat it. And my parents take me out to eat, but I don't go and try to say, Mom, let's go there today. I don't do that after the day we just ate yesterday. Why would I do that? You can't go out to eat every day. We have something that's called a budget. So you can't just go out and eat every day. You can't get all this expensive stuff from Walmart and these shops you'll be going in with all these clothes and stuff you want, because they work and they don't have money to spend on just random stuff going out to eat all the time. That's why we eat at home. Eat some cereal. Eat a Pop-Tart. I love eating Pop-Tarts in the evening time. So after hearing the complaints of the people, don't complain. The disciples found a little boy who was willing to give his lunch. Probably didn't want to eat it anyway. Like, so he just gave it away, and they had 7 baskets left over. That's a miracle. I mean, even though you won't want to eat 7 baskets of leftover when you get home, it's still a blessing. You have food. You can give it away. Like, people don't, that's what we do. We get baskets and bags, and we put food in there. We do a lot of stuff for these people who don't have as much as we do, because we mess over food. We don't have all this food away. So if you don't want to eat it, then give it away. I mean, I'm not saying you should be picking to leave it out there intentionally, but you should have a spirit to want to give, and that's a good thing. Princess Leah goes and helps her mom give away food and clothes to people who don't have as much. We do that almost every year. And it's good to be able to help. You'll have a good feeling, actually, when you do that. The Holy Spirit will convict you, and he'll be like, wow, it actually feels good to be given to these people. That's how I feel, helping my mom pack bags. And Kayla does it, too. I'm her twin, so she's a good example. Look at me. I'm just like Kayla. So she does that too, and I just think that's so awesome. We should be able to do that. And I'm pretty sure that you didn't know that Kayla did that, so I'm just telling you, she does that. She's a visionary. She goes out there and does things that most of the people, we don't want to do it right now. We're just so lazy. That's another part. We're just lazy, and we don't want to give away stuff. I feel so sad because these people just don't want to be a blessing to other people that don't have as much toys, food. I mean, how are we going to live without food? They need it. People out there living on the streets now, they don't have anywhere to go, and we need to give out food to them like Kayla had to do it.
She's such a great example. And everybody had a buffet meal anyway. So all these people, the women were there, the kids were there, they had enough to eat, the men, they were out there eating. That's good. They had all the food they needed right there. And after that, they didn't even complain about what they were eating. I mean, at first they did because they didn't have any food, but they ate it all. Well, not all of it, since there were 7 baskets, but this is a great miracle that Yeshua performed. And all the people, the little boy, the disciples that helped, it's good. And I mean, some of us complain about, like, when we're going out somewhere, we have, like, an engagement to go to, like, I have violin practice, something similar to that. Why don't you pack your food up from at home? That's what my dad would want me to do, my mom and dad. I have food at home I can take to practice, but sometimes we're just like, oh, we don't have any food at home, Mom. And you look in the refrigerator, a microwavable food you can put in the microwave or the oven is just sitting in there. Why don't you cook that? And there's some chips over in the basket. Why don't you take that to wherever you're going? So, yeah, it's just about being grateful and how Yahuwah blesses people like this. And it's great to see how these people can go out and are willing to do that. I mean, us as kids, we just think we have to sit back and watch our parents or older people do things, like how we have salvation. We think, oh, I'll do that when I get older. It'll always be there, but why don't you do it now? I mean, there's no certain time you have to have salvation. You know that, right? And that's kind of how we are when our parents go and do stuff for people, like charity events. We just want to sit back and watch them do what they're doing. Why don't you help? I help my mom all the time with what she does, and I feel good to be able to help people, help people out there who may not have as much as we do. And so this is how we are in church too, because I'm looking at how Yeshua was teaching them the scriptures and we're sitting in there just listening to the pastor. That's another thing I thought about. We just sit in there like, when are we going to leave yet? We've been in church for hours. That's how we are. I'm thinking about that. Why are we in a hurry to leave church? I mean, we should be attentive and want to learn more about Yahuwah, not just sitting in there. Like, some of us kids maybe sleep, oh, well, I'm not talking about the babies exactly because they really can't. They don't understand anything anyway. But us kids, we shouldn't be in there just doodling, falling asleep while the pastor's talking. We should be attentive and want to learn more about him. Not ready to go, Mom, what are we going to eat? It's, church is over, so can we go eat now? That's how some of us think. Some of us go back to, like, when we used to say, Mom, it's Sunday. Let's go eat after church. That's how most of us think. I mean, I used to think like that. So, yeah, most of us think like that. And I think blessing people is more important than just, you know, wanting to stop doing important things for Yahuwah. And so we also know what happened back then about how they didn't have gas station stores and whatnot. They had to, you know, sit out there and listen. And that little boy had a good spirit, the spirit to want to give. And he's a good example, too. And how we should pray over our food every time. And how Yeshua has 7 baskets of leftovers. He performs lots of miracles. And in Mark 8, I'm going to go there so I can read it to you. Okay, I'm in Mark 8. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude. See, he didn't just stand there and just let them starve. He had a good spirit to want to give them something to eat while he was teaching. So they have been here with me 3 days. 3 days! Ugh. 3 days with no food? Oh. And if I send them away fast into their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. Yeah.
They've been out there for 3 days, and he doesn't want them to pass out while they're walking home. So he had compassion on those people, and he wanted to give them something to eat right now. And the disciples answered him, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" No gas stations. And he asked them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, "Seven." And he, see, look, there was 7 loaves of bread. And then there were 7 baskets left over. That's kind of interesting. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took 7 loaves and gave thanks. And he broke them and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set before the people. And they had a few small fishes. He blessed them and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And there's a little bit more, too. And they had eaten for about 4,000. See, 4,000 people. That's a lot. And how would anybody be able to feed 4,000 people? Not even the restaurants can do that, I bet you that. And straightway he entered a ship with his disciples. So the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, heaven tempting him. So that's another thing. We're still in Mark 8, so I'm just going to go with that too. It's reading Mark 8. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And when he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, "Why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation." He left them, entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. See, why does everybody want a sign? Like, I know Yeshua performed all these miracles, but why do we need a sign? Why can't we just believe that he's real? All of us are so skeptical about him being real. Like, I don't think he's real. He doesn't really do anything. Did you pray? Did you pray right? I don't think he did. He's not answering your prayers right now. That doesn't mean he's not going to answer them. It's just not right now. Maybe it's not the right time that he wants to answer it. And some of you guys, we question Yeshua too. We'll be all like, "I don't even think Yeshua was real. He doesn't do anything in my life." I know, right? I prayed, and then he just didn't answer. Yeah, sure. You weren't praying right, maybe? I mean, there's no wrong prayer, but maybe he just doesn't want to answer him right now. Maybe he didn't have a good heart while you were praying. So that was Mark 8. And they were in the wilderness, Yeshua following. That's how we should be. We should be able to follow Yeshua for several days all of our life. But they were out there, and they were willing to follow him through the wilderness with no food, and they just listened. That's how we should be. But even though towards the end they complained, we should be willing to sit and listen to him for a long time, forever, through our lifetime. And we should be able to want to listen to him and follow him and have a good spirit and want to learn more about him, do things for him. Because some of us as kids, we just don't feel like it's our time. Our parents are doing all that stuff. We'll do it when we get old. You can do it now. You can be a servant to Jesus, and you can want to serve him. Like, CEO Kayla Padgett does that. I am so glad to be your twin because she is an inspiration to me. Like, she goes around doing all this cool stuff. She goes and she has her show. And I'm just so grateful to be her twin because I am inspired to do what's right, too. I want to be just like her, be more like Yeshua. And that's how we should be. We should want to be more like, we should have a role model in our lives that we can look up to, and we should say, "I want to be like them," because they have a good spirit. They have a spirit like Yahuwah, and that should be a good inspiration. We should want to follow Yeshua, and we have role models that will help us get there, like our parents. Our parents should be good role models. My parents are good role models. My mom, I really look up to her. My dad, they really inspire me. They want to be more like Yahuwah. They talk to me, and they pray with me. That's a good, what we should be like, you know? We should be like that with our kids when we get older, and we should want to pray with them. And it's really good that we have figures in our lives, like even our siblings, our sisters. It could be an aunt or grandparent. If they have a good spirit like Yahuwah, then that's good. We should want to be more like them. And so I'm just going to wrap up, and I'm going to say that I have my literature program for my kids, and that I want to say it's coming soon. It says Leah Pro-Literacy Campaign. It's going to be coming soon, pretty soon, and I'm going to be sharing with you guys reading and lots of other cool stuff. And I want to say hello again to Kayla Padgett, and thank you for letting me get on my show. Thank you so much. And for all the parents out there who let their kids listen to me today, so, or grandparents or aunts or siblings. And I'm going to pray. Yahuwah, we thank you for today, and we thank you for everything you've done for these kids. And we thank you for their parents and their aunts and just anybody that's there for them. And I thank you for everybody else in the world, and that you died on the cross for us, and that we can be made anew, and that we can follow you and have that choice to be with you in heaven. And I thank you for Kayla Padgett, and that you would keep her safe on today, and the missionaries, the president, everybody in the world today. And I thank you for Pro-Literacy Campaign, for Princess Leah, and that the kids out there will read and want to learn more about you, read their Bibles and study them. And that you will continue to work through me and Kayla Padgett and all those other people out there who the kids look up to. And so I thank you for just another year. The year is about to end again. Thank you for my birthday. And I thank you for my parents especially, because they were here for me all this time. And we thank you for just, you know, blessing us and letting us see another day. In Yeshua's name, amen. So I'm going to see you guys next time. And I really thank you for listening to me and, you know, my birthday. And thank you for praying for me. And I'm glad that I can be talking to you guys on through the radio. See you next time. Bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.